And a very good evening to everybody. The program is Off the Hook. Emmanuel Goldstein here with you on this Wednesday evening. Joined tonight by Kyle.
Yes, hi.
And out in Signal Land, we have Rob P. Firefly.
Good evening.
And we have Alex.
Yeah, you do. Okay. Yeah, I'm here. I'm here. Barely. Can you hear me?
Yes, Alex, we can hear you. If there could be one week where you're able to make a good connection without all the dramatics.
Oh, for God's sakes. Well, it's very dramatic tonight. Uh-huh. I'm in Seville. I'm in Spain. I'm in, you know, in southern Spain, and I'm in a karaoke bar.
Why in God's name are you in a karaoke bar when we have to be on the radio?
Well, I misjudged time and space.
That is the understatement of the week.
What song did you pick?
I didn't pick anything. It was just way too far to get to this goddamn place. Now it's impossible to get back. So I'm hanging out in a secret karaoke room that nobody is using. You might be able to hear this in the background. I apologize, but I'm stuck here for the hour.
For the hour beyond that, too, when we do overtime as well. So
I'll try to hang out for a little bit if I can.
Yeah, you will hang out, right? You have commitments. And
I do have commitments. Yeah, I should be committed, is what you mean.
It can be arranged. Well, okay, so let's move on. We have all kinds of interesting things to talk about tonight. First of all, there's a lot of drama going on in Manhattan tonight. You guys aware of this?
No.
Okay, one of you is and one of you isn't. The one who is, why don't you tell us what's going on?
Well, I assume you're referring to the fact that chunks of Midtown Manhattan are closed off due to the Knicks game that's going on. I believe that's basketball.
Yes, and I think you know it's basketball. We can dispense with not knowing anything about what's going on, but yeah, it's happening. And the streets are being turned into pandemonium. What just happened, though, fairly recently, within the last couple of hours, you know how they have those outdoor watch parties? They were canceled after everybody was preparing to show up at one of these watch parties. Madison Square Garden, James Dolan, in fact, the guy who owns everything, he canceled it. He got in a hissy fit with the mayor, apparently. And this is just a crazy story you're going to be hearing about for quite some time. But hours before Game 4 of the NBA Final, the watch party outside Madison Square Garden was canceled after a spat erupted between the mayor and the garden's owner. In a statement posted on Twitter, Mayor Zoran Mondani said that James Dolan, the owner of the Knicks, had decided to cancel the watch party. A call, he said, was breaking hearts across our city. In a radio interview on the Craig Carton show, whatever that is, Mr. Dolan blamed Mr. Mondani and Jessica Tisch, the police commissioner, for enhanced security measures across around the arena on Monday. Well, hang on a second. The damn president was here. That's why they had to have all these enhanced security measures. So what, the owner of Madison Square Garden, who sat next to Trump, is pissed off that there was security on Monday. You need a chart to follow all this. It's insane. So Dolan attacked both Jessica Tisch and Zoran Mondani as being inexperienced, here we go, and intent on disrupting the team's run through the playoffs, which has captivated New York City and fans hungry for a title that has eluded them for more than 50 years. Does it make sense that the mayor wants to disrupt that? I don't think any mayor would want to disrupt that. This is about celebrating the Knicks at Madison Square Garden at the Mecca of basketball, Dolan said. This is what the mayor's office and the commissioner's office is trying to kill. They don't want the celebration. I think what might have happened on Monday was when the two of them were sitting next to each other, some notes were passed, some plans were hatched, and basically Trump told Dolan to start an insane narrative, which is, you know, his specialty. And, people will just follow that. Because, yeah, it makes perfect sense that the police commissioner and the mayor want to kill the celebrations in the streets of New York City. The city approved the permit, is all ready to go, and I guess Dolan has the power to just cancel things. Watch out for that guy. He's a snake in the grass. Well, now I'm probably banned from Madison Square Garden. Although I did say I wanted to be banned in the past because of their insane facial recognition, cross-referencing. If you're working for a law firm that is involved in a lawsuit with Madison Square Garden, and that's pretty much every law firm, you will be kicked out of, well, if you're in there right now at the finals, you'll be kicked out. Somebody will find you and throw you onto the street, and somehow that's legal. We've talked about that many times on this show. These little fiefdoms that pop up, we're going to see a lot of that with the World Cup coming up starting tomorrow. But this is another level of insanity. And I think it's going to lead to some unrest in the streets because you can't have a bunch of fans expecting to show up and be somewhere and then told, no, you can't be here. Go home or go somewhere else. They're already rioting when they win. They're rioting when they lose. How do you think they're going to act when they're told they can't even be around for no particular reason, just because some rich guy decided that you can't be there? It's not going to go over well. And when that happens, I'm predicting this as I go, Trump will say, aha, that proves we have to send ICE in to maintain order and martial law and all that. Do you think I'm far off at least, Rob?
I don't think you're far off at all. I mean, it's been known for generations in this part of the world that James Dolan is a billionaire. He is a very grouchy billionaire. He likes taking petty little swipes at people he feels slighted him in some way. And I could definitely see him wanting to just in general squash these parties where people are watching the game at his stadium without paying him somehow. And also, like, he's pals with Trump. So I do think that, yeah, notes could have been passed, you know, maybe hand signals, maybe, you know, just gazes in one another's eyes.
No, they were both sleeping, so I don't think there was much, much physical motion there.
Yeah, but I think it's very reasonable to suspect that, there were ulterior motives to all this on his part.
So now this guy, he owns Madison Square Garden, is that right?
He owns Madison Square. He owns
Does he own the Knicks as well? Does he also own the Knicks?
That I don't know.
Let's get the research team on this.
Yes. He is the company chairman of Madison Square Entertainment, MSG Networks, supervises day to day operations of the New York Knicks and the New York Rangers. So apparently,
and doesn't he own the cable company too? Optimum? I think he owns that as well. This guy owns everything, and yet he still throws these hissy fits when he doesn't get it. I don't even know how he didn't get his way in this particular case. But I swear, if this isn't proof that too much money is a sickness and is bad for your health and the health of everyone around you, nothing can prove it better than this. Nothing. Alex, you're blurry, so I can't see if you're waving at me or anything. But if you have something to say, now's the time.
Yeah, I'll say I'm trying to conserve bandwidth here by turning off my video. So I might be a little bit delayed. And if there's difficulty hearing me, let me know. But I think that the issue isn't joined here in the sense of I have no idea what the Dolans and Mom Donnie are fighting about. What the hell is it? I've heard totally conflicting things coming out of your mouth about this particular issue and what's happening right now in New York. I really have no idea what it is, but it sounds stupid. And I think that they're probably, in my opinion, both wrong. I'm not a fan, as you know, of either Mamdani or the Dolans. I don't like billionaires. I also don't like, I'm not particularly, you know, enamored with this mayor. I hope he does great. That'd be wonderful. But you have to also realize you're dealing with a city bureaucracy here. You should never presume that government bureaucracy is on the side of virtue. Okay? I think that's the wrong presumption to make in every situation here.
Well, I'm not sure how virtue plays into it when you're just talking about people gathering in a street.
But Emmanuel, we're talking about, you know, any time we talk about Mamdani, you assume that he's operating on, you know, in some virtuous capacity.
Okay, fine. Then let's talk about Tish. Let's talk about the police commissioner. Okay, she's a more right wing to your liking. All right, and I'm defending her.
Not to my liking.
I'm defending her.
Don't cast me in that aspect.
I'm trying to make it easy for you. Look, she is not a socialist. So they granted the permit, And basically, Dolan said, no, you can't do it in front of my palace or whatever. I don't see another side to that. I see one guy exercising his power and saying he's pissed off that people have to go through security on a day when Trump isn't here. And, you know, I'm not one to generally advocate more security for public events. I think we have enough already. But this is in the street. These are free events, and there's been all kinds of trouble over the past several events. So I'm not sure how much security this guy's talking about. I can't imagine him getting that angry at somebody having to go through, what, a metal detector or something? Okay, so why is that bending him out of shape so much? Something doesn't add up here. Whereas it's a pretty simple position the mayor and the police commissioner are taking. Let the people come, let the people stay in the street and watch the game. That's it. Rob?
I mean, maybe, but I don't know. I still don't really understand what the issues are. I think it's more complex.
How is it more complex? What's more complex? What could be more complex than that?
There's liability issues associated with using anybody's property to have some kind of public celebration on a massive scale. And if the Domes don't want that to happen on their property without the city and properly indemnifying them, I can completely understand that. That's not anything unreasonable. You wouldn't allow the city of New York to have a party on your property without kind of indemnification
procedure. Hang on. They've had a dozen of these things already. Are you saying that the city changed the terms at the last minute?
I'm not saying anything, Emmanuel. I don't know what has happened here,
you're raising these issues that might be true. So do you really think that's possible that the city would, at the very last moment, suddenly say, you know what, we're not going to cover you anymore if something happens on your property? I mean, that seems easy to identify and extremely stupid. And if they did that, yeah, I'll agree with you. That was a really dumb move. But I don't see that happen. It doesn't. I'm much more predisposed to think that this is a billionaire tantrum. I just it has all the earmarks of that. Rob, go ahead.
Well, it wouldn't be the first one we've seen, okay? But it also wouldn't be the first time that we've seen government bureaucracy getting in the way of something fun happening.
Yeah, I don't see it here because you know you had the two of them. You had Trump and Dolan meeting on Monday. And now all of a sudden this happens. It doesn't make any sense. Rob, go ahead.
Yeah, that's the thing. Is like the Garden requested the permit for the party. It was Dolan's Madison Square Garden that requested the permit for the party. The city, personified by the mayor, the police commissioner, whoever, said yes, okay, go ahead, and they were ready to go. And then it's Dolan who said, wait, no, I'm psych, I'm not going to do it. So you know, I don't think there are really two sides to this thing. It's clear which party did what.
Well, we're going to find out. There's no question about that because they won't be able to bury this. But I want to move on. I didn't want to talk about basketball or riots in the street. Well, maybe riots in the street if they happen because well, that's always interesting. We got a letter from a listener named Frank, who says I'm not sure why he says that. First off, Emmanuel, I am human. Okay, listeners, you don't have to say that every time because we're going to assume you're human. It's not quite the reckoning yet where we have to deal with artificial intelligence talking to us personally. I can confirm I am not artificial. I'm not sure about the intelligence part. I assume you have heard or seen this already, but bringing it to your attention, as I'd like your thoughts on this. Well, guess what? Frank, I did not know about this, what you sent me. What you sent me, it knocked me to the ground. It really did. It's a website. Maybe some of you have gone to this website. Maybe some of you have accessed this website. And by that, I mean logged into it and controlled it. It's called www.whitehouse.gov. We've all heard of it, right? Whitehouse.gov. Yeah? I see a lot of blank stares. Okay.
Yeah, sure.
All right. So sure. We all know that we're familiar with what we're talking about. That is the website run at the White House, 1600 Pennsylvania Avenue, Washington, D.C. There is another directory beyond whitehouse.gov. Are you ready? You're going to type this in, whitehouse.gov/aliens. Yeah. Aliens. Now, when I saw this, I'm like, oh, boy. What are they doing now? And sure enough, there's this green writing on black background saying, they walk among us. Aliens have been walking among us, living in our neighborhoods, and interacting with us in our daily lives. And that's about the time when I realized, okay, I see where this is going. They've shopped in the same stores, attended the same classes as our children, and lived seemingly normal human existences. With one exception, they do not belong here. Oh, my God. It just goes on from there, descending into all kinds of racist hatred, and you realize that this is just what Trump considers to be something clever, and it's just something completely hateful. It ends with the truth is no longer out there. It is right here, right now. And then you get these numbers. What is this? 3,130,076 encounters. Then there's an alien arrest map, which is a bunch of nonsense without any real evidence of anything. It's just basically listing a bunch of crimes and nothing nothing linking them to anyone from a particular place. But the thing that really is getting me concerned here is this big red box that says Report Suspicious Aliens, ICE tip line. On the damn White House, there's a button to hit to report, well, I was going to say your fellow citizen, but I know they'd jump all over me if I said that. Your fellow human being, how about that? Is that too much? Yeah, so if you click that, you get an ICE tip form. Basically asks you one question, are you a law enforcement officer, yes or no? And then there's a privacy notice underneath that, a CAPTCHA, and then you submit. You haven't actually said anything yet, and I haven't got to the point of actually hitting that button to see what lies beyond. But this is just so incredibly disturbing. Rob, are you familiar with this? Did you know about this?
I knew about this because of this listener who wrote to us, and you know, yes, it's at whitehouse.gov/aliens, but it is also accessible by just typing in aliens.gov. That's a domain now, and it redirects to this. And yeah, you only scratch the surface of what this actually looks like, and it is glowing green text on a background that is black with animated stars scrolling through it. It is basically, if you were around on the web in the 90s and looked at any X-Files fan site, this is what it looked like.
Mm-hmm.
But with the trappings of this, and with little illusions like the truth is out there and such, they are using that to put forth such hate and this disgusting map, which, it must be said, the little clickable red areas on the map are stylized as blood spatters.
Oh my God.
You click on any of these and it brings up just a sourceless list of supposed arrests and their countries of origin and the criminal charges brought up against some people that they're claiming exist. There's a little checkbox that says gang affiliation. It's actually powered by Open Map Tiles, which is itself powered by OpenStreetMap, so they're throwing open source software into this instead of just using a Google Maps. There's something to be said for that, but they're using it for something so disgusting. This is offensive that this exists on, you know, the .gov TLD, and that all of our taxes go some way toward paying for this.
I don't often call for open warfare against the website, but in this particular case, I think it's warranted. This is disgusting. This is hateful. I want to read you something that comes from another page that just popped up. I don't know how it even popped up, but it did. If you've witnessed an alien abduction, do not be alarmed. The alien is in good hands. So they're referring to an ICE raid. We will take care of it. We will take care of it and return it safely to its place of origin. There are words I want to use right now that I can't use. But this is so disgusting, I want to break their servers. I really do. This just cannot be allowed to stand in our name. You know, whitehouse.gov, it used to mean something. It used to mean you were in serious trouble if you actually did access it because it was taken seriously. But this, whitehouse.gov/aliens, oh my God, this is, I wish I had more words. I really do. Well, thank you, Frank, for making me obsess over this now. This is, really crazy. I don't know how long it's been around. For all I know, it's been up for a year. But it's truly disgusting. Yes, Kyle.
It's also really making it confusing for some of the other materials and subject matter that are of great importance and quite timely. And putting something like this in the way, it just makes it really hard to get the information you need.
Are you talking about on whitehouse.gov or somewhere else?
Yeah, with all the other disclosures and information.
Yeah.
This is just a waste of time.
It really is. It really is. Yes, Rob.
Yeah, just pulling down the whois for the aliens.gov domain reveals that it was created in March of this year, so comparatively recently. I don't know when the site went live, but that's when they put the domain up.
Well, I'd like to know who's running it. Is this an ICE thing? Is this, you know, a Barron Trump thing? Who's, you know, spending time peddling all this hatred and trying to get people just grabbed off the street and referring to immigrants as objects? It's disgusting.
Well, in the whois output for this, there are the fields which usually give you contact info for the person or entity behind the domain. On this one, the registrant organization is listed as Executive Officer of the President. All the other fields in this, address, state, postal code, are redacted for privacy. So, in their own domain records here, they're very concerned about keeping themselves private and giving any.
In fairness, everybody does that these days. You know, again, this is where I stray off the path. I think that there should be some identity when you look up a site. It used to be when you typed whois followed by a domain name, you'd find out who registered that site. Now everybody, it's anonymous, and it could be anybody. And I just, why even have the whois command? It doesn't do anything. You can have a fake name. You know, it wasn't like people were checking your ID, but what fake name you chose said something about who you were. You know, and I think that's something that we're entitled to know. Who runs that site?
Well, the admin organization is given as the Cybersecurity and Infrastructure Security Agency, and their address in Arlington, Virginia. So CISA, CISA, that's who's adminning the site, but I think they just admin all the .gov sites, don't they, Alex?
Yeah, that's listed as basically the registrant and the registrant organization for most .gov new sites, not necessarily all the old sites, and not necessarily all the sites that are associated with the Executive Office of the President as well. But I remember picking this up back in March and thinking it was weird, extraordinarily weird.
Wait, why didn't we talk about this in March then? Because, boy, this is weird.
Yeah, it's very strange, but it didn't resolve back then. It was just a new domain, and who knew what the hell they were going to do. But nobody knew that the content it really is what the crux of the issue is here. Nobody knew that the content was actually not going to have to do with actual aliens, as in, you know, interplanetary visitors, but about ICE itself. It's unbelievably cheap and tawdry what they've done. It's the kind of thing that I think that the American people should feel hoodwinked about this and should feel really sad about their tax dollars being spent on this kind of nonsense. Especially in New York, especially in states where we have so rebelled against what ICE has been doing. And of course, you know, I myself have been party to so many lawsuits against ICE in the form of writs of habeas corpus to try to get their detainees that are being held unconstitutionally out of detention.
What's your record on those cases?
My record is 5-0. I've won every single case. Okay. Every single case against ICE. Because what they're doing is so blatantly unconstitutional that any time it goes in front of a judge, it is easily overturned. So,
well, hang on a second. We've all seen what judges are doing lately, and there are plenty of judges that don't seem to care about what's constitutional and what's not. How is it you've never run up against one of those?
Well, I have. I have run against a judge in the Southern District of New York that routinely found for ICE over and over and over again. But, look, any good lawyer has a strategy how to deal with a difficult judge. My strategy in that particular case was to, delay the disposition of that particular matter because there was an issue on appeal that would have decided this issue of the statutory authority of ICE if it was decided in time. And it turned out that, well, I went and saw the appellate argument in Second Circuit down in southern Manhattan, realized that the writing was on the wall, that the government was going to lose on this issue, further stalled the case up until the point where a decision was issued, and then the judge that I was in front of that routinely found Fryce could no longer find Fryce because that law no longer existed. There was appellate authority that prevented that particular judge from finding in that way. So yeah, there's all kinds of tactical things that you can do to deal with this, but we just happen to have a case on appeal dealing with the same exact issue. And won that case on appeal.
But you
have to be cognizant of all these things. But look, to go back to aliens.gov, Emmanuel, this is insane. Insane. And Rob, I totally agree with you. I mean, the aesthetic quality of aliens.gov, it looks like some cheap, tawdry site from like 1997 that somebody created. It's unbelievably stupid.
But can we just say more frequently than aliens.gov, whitehouse.gov/aliens? Because it's the damn White House pushing this. It's on their site, you know? And I think that's a hell of a lot worse than just aliens.gov, you know? They put all kinds of weird things in the .gov domain.
Emmanuel, I think we should hold them to account for more than just one single second-level domain in that top-level domain.gov. I think the government, as the federal government of the United States of America, should be responsible for anything that's in the zone file of the .gov top-level domain. And aliens.gov is insane, and I think we need to hold them into account for everything there.
Go ahead, Rob.
Not only that, I mean, going back to the passage referring to people as it, I mean, this is hate speech, plain and simple. This is hate speech. Every suppressive power, the fascists, the Nazis, you know, starts at treating people as though they are things, dehumanizing the people that you don't like or that you're afraid of. That is tool one in their toolbox. And, you know, that is what leads to crosses being burnt on lawns. That is what leads to all sorts of brutality on massive scales. And it's on whitehouse.gov. It is being put out there by the United States government. I am shaken by this.
Yeah, and it's not just limited to here. You see the ugliness going on in the UK right now. It's not far from any of our cities, from any of our cultures. The hatred, the ignorance, the violence. It's something that we all have to be watching. And unfortunately, those people who are in charge are amongst the biggest perpetrators of this right now. It's really kind of sad. All right, let's move on to what we were talking about last week, which was the whole 60 Minutes snafu. We got a good amount of mail on that as well. But an interesting connection that our good friend Aesthetics was able to share with us. I want to draw your attention, he says, to something interesting I found. Apparently, Nick Bilton, you all know who Nick Bilton is? He's the boss right now, the guy who fired Scott Pelley. Because Scott Pelley said that he was minimally qualified and they're murdering 60 Minutes and killing news and all that kind of thing. Okay, this is the guy who fired him, couldn't handle criticism. Turns out that Nick Bilton is one of the founders of the hackerspace known as NYC Resistor. Ain't that something? Wow. A place we've been to, a place we know well, a place we know quite a few people. If you go to their Wikipedia page, you see that he is one of the founders. In fact, I have it on good authority that he would sign his name Nick Zister. Okay, well, that's something. There's all kinds of, rings of familiarity or whatever that's called. I'm sorry, I'm in a 95-degree room again, so I'm having a little trouble with putting thoughts together.
Yeah, same here. But it's always interesting. It's a small world when people that you've known or known of, at least from the local hacker scene, turn out to be these people making news on international levels, for better or for worse. You know, we had Beto O'Rourke not too long ago, and now we've got Nick Bilton as the latest member of that club.
Well, Beto O'Rourke was just, you know, went to what, a CDC meeting or something? I think he might have been at a Hope conference. starting a hackerspace, that's a couple of steps above that. There's always a connection somewhere.
I missed where NYC Resistor put up a class in destroying TV news institutions. I must have been sick that week.
Yeah. All right.
People are multifaceted.
We will be on overtime tonight, if you want more of this, on YouTube, 8 o'clock, channel 2600, where we take phone calls and say what's really on our minds. Because right now it's kind of unbearably hot in here. Alex, tell us what's going on where you are.
There's all kinds of weird noises and things happening in this room. I'm hidden away in the secret karaoke room in Seville, and people could walk in at any moment here. I have to warn you. But I would like to know what the hell happened to Beto O'Rourke. You know, I was trying to remember this guy's name that was part of the CDC, and you mentioned him like he just came off the top of the tip of your tongue, Rob. You know, like you'd been thinking about him recently. I hadn't thought about this guy in years. Whatever happened to Beto O'Rourke?
People stopped thinking about him for years. That's what happened.
Yeah. He just kind of disappeared. But, I mean, really, where is he? What is he doing? Do we have any idea?
Anybody knows what Beto O'Rourke is right now. If he's at the Knick game, let us know that. If he's at his house in Texas... Alex seems to want to know that.
I think
for some
he's campaigning in Texas for local politics,
but not himself.
Yeah. I don't think he's running. I think he's out there advocating for different positions and races that he cares about.
Okay.
He ran for governor of Texas in 2022, and I think that may have been his last run for office as such.
Yeah, but that's not to say there's sort of a lack of political engagement. Specifically Texas, I think there's a lot of desire for for it to be in play in ways it hasn't been in the past.
Yeah, I think it's us that are not in tune with what's going on in Texas. I'm sure if you were there, you would hear his name more than you hear it here. And that might be unfortunate. He has a lot to say, but maybe we'll hear more from him in the months ahead. It's been an interesting political year so far. It's going to get more interesting.
Well, and it's also, I guess, the subtext here being that it kind of has become remarkable or unremarkable, the connections to technology and hacking. A lot of people that grew up with this stuff are now engaged in what are otherwise sort of stereotypically grown-up activities, like getting involved in politics or whatever the case may be.
Subverting Western democracy.
And that's kind of what I was joking at, but yeah, it is the case. And yeah, maybe they, maybe as adults, they don't care about journalism or freedom of speech, you know, as much or in ways they did when they were sort of just starting out, getting to understand who they are.
Yeah, and, you know, these people do move in our circles to a degree. Everybody knows somebody who knows one of the players. It's really nothing to be proud of, nothing to boast about. It's kind of embarrassing, actually.
Sometimes very sad.
You feel like you could have stopped it. You could have done something and prevented all this evil from taking root. But it's not that easy. You don't always see it coming. The most you can do is look for the signs that you missed from years ago and write a screenplay, I guess. I don't know. I'm not sure what the answer is. But also, whenever you're involved in something that's growing, that's taking off, whether it's cryptocurrency or hacking or anything in the technology world, a lot of the people that you hang out with are going to turn into extremely powerful people, and you won't recognize them. And you might have an opportunity to influence them, maybe instill some values, but I wouldn't count on it. I wouldn't count on it. I don't want to sound too negative, but it's insane what is going on right now with AI, with data centers. Okay, Seattle, this is an interesting story. In Seattle, they are putting a moratorium on AI data centers, the home of Amazon and Microsoft. they actually passed a moratorium, a year-long moratorium. Well, it's not that much, really. Seattle said no more AI data centers for a year. The city council voted unanimously in favor of the temporary ban yesterday. A major tech hub whose metro area is home to Amazon and Microsoft, Seattle is the largest U.S. city to have passed such a moratorium as the backlash against AI infrastructure grows across the country. Lawmakers have framed the pause as an opportunity to draft regulations specifically targeting the electricity-hungry data centers being built nationwide to serve the AI sector and to protect local residents from environmental risks and rising electricity bills. Okay, there's a couple of things I don't understand here. These guys, they move into town, and they suck all the electricity out, and somehow it's the people who live there who are paying more for electricity. If a company is going to do this, they should be in the business of generating electricity to cover their needs and to reimburse the neighborhood that they are destroying in one way or another. It's just insane to me that I see place after place that welcomes these huge companies, allows them not to pay taxes, gives them discounts on energy, hurts the people who live there, and just asks for more. I mean, you know, we see the ugliness of FIFA, what they're doing to the various cities that they park their van in. What is with leadership that allows this kind of thing?
Well, a lot of these deals are being done in secret. I know Aaron Brockovich was creating a map and talking about this and reporting on it amongst many other public interest groups. And the fact is, they're just happening everywhere, en masse, under code name, secret, kind of really discreet public filings, and basically a lot of that information is cloaked so that for the express reason of obfuscating their purpose or their ownership or their interests or what its purpose will ultimately be. And the thing with generating electricity, yeah, they've been encouraged. That's sort of one of the rationales now, is that, okay, fine, you can build these places, but you have to make your own electricity. But they tend to install portable, like, turbine generators that themselves can become, that are a part of the noise generation and other forms of pollutants and consuming resources in that community. And they need a vast amount of them, with sort of, from what I understand, really kind of specious plans to ever replace them with something a little bit cleaner, a little bit more suited for the long term, especially as it keeps growing and growing and growing. Now, that's a huge generalization, I'm willing to grant, but it's that kind of mentality that's landed us here. So then the data centers become sited and placed in places and communities that are a little bit further away, have less population to resist it, but it's out and out, sort of pretty corrupt as far as getting into these cities with these contracts and not having a public forum or a comment period, at least, and other sorts of moments to actually plan it. And that, I think, is the reason the Seattle thing, yeah, though it's a year, well, it's a year to take off to actually come up with a way to be kind of on top of this in the future when projects are submitted, to actually have a way of evaluating and specific criteria to manage the influx of these types of facilities.
I think, you know, the easiest way to manage it is just to say no. And I keep saying no. I cannot understand why anybody would welcome such data center that makes noise, that uses power, and that somehow raises what they are paying, what people living there are paying for electricity, all the while not paying their fair share in taxes, not doing anything for the community. Why would anybody support that? I don't get. I mean, I could see why corrupt politicians and local business leaders would support. They'll get something out of it, but the people who live there, they won't get anything except maybe some diseases. So they should be the ones to decide once and for all who gets to do what in their community. Listen to this. The Seattle Times reported in April that five proposed data centers could consume up to a third, of Seattle's current demand for electricity. It was at that point that lawmakers moved to impose a moratorium. That's what it took, a third of the electricity in Seattle. Local tech workers, including activist groups such as Amazon Employees for Climate Justice, met with policymakers on the topic and mounted a letter-writing campaign that sent nearly 100,000 emails to local lawmakers. Whew. You know, I feel like it's a good first step, but it's such a tiny step. A one-year moratorium is nothing.
That just shows you that, like, they have a lot of catching up to do. They're not really aware of the sentiment on the ground. Like, I think they have a huge gap in what their sense of this is and what people's actual feelings are and inclinations. Like, the facts on the ground, as you kind of listed off, are more in line with it than the political solutions. They do seem really kind of paltry, like kind of inadequate by comparison.
And the funny thing is, we didn't even touch upon the evils of AI taking away everyone's jobs. The same people living in those communities no longer have jobs now because AI replaced them.
And that's where you get into, like, the, okay, so who's cashing in? So you have a gold rush, right? You have contractors, you have different kinds of construction.
Remember those people I was talking
utility,
about that you grew up with, that you see become more and more powerful? Those people, they're the ones benefiting from this. The evil people out there. But, okay, before we start popping champagne on this, there was an amendment to the moratorium that passed unanimously last week. It allows existing data centers in Seattle to apply for expansions requiring up to 20 megawatts of additional power during that year-long pause. Wow, you think they're all going to do that? I do. Activists are concerned that provision may lead to a spike in data centers' demand for power while the moratorium is in place and may undermine the premise of the pause. You think? Yeah, of course. I can't believe that passed.
Well, what is it? Half a rack? Like 20 megawatts? Like, that's like just a couple U, right? For AI?
Yes, Rob, go ahead.
I mean, this, I you know, kudos to Seattle for staving this off at least a little bit in a meaningful way, because it warms my heart when these people are told no, and that's not happening nearly enough. This whole bubble is being fueled by, you know, tech bros and their minions basically going off to local governments everywhere, putting out a big spiel like they're selling a monorail to Springfield, and getting entrenched and putting up a data center which makes life around it worse for the people who live there, which takes space and health and everything away from them, and the real mind blower of the whole thing is that this whole field has yet to show a profit. They're pouring money into this because it is a bubble. You have to pour money into a bubble for it to keep bubbling. When this pops, it's going to be disastrous. I'm wondering, like, what plans there are for use of these data center spaces after this all crashes. You know, can we easily convert these into shopping malls or swimming pools or something? But it's interesting to watch when they actually get told no by the people who live there. You know, they didn't get to the right government official and allow some money to fall into their pocket or something to get their plan approved.
Go ahead, Alex.
You know, I think Rob is on something here when he mentions there's something interesting about when these people are told no, but because they're going to be told no over and over and over and over and over again here. The federal government doesn't have...
This is the future, folks. This is the sound of the future. Is there any way you can get a better signal, Alex?
No. I've even asked if there's Wi-Fi in the place, and they quickly turned me down. Can you hear me all right?
We hear a sound, not exactly words, but keep trying.
You're kind of underwater. Maybe if you shut your video and have more bandwidth for sound.
Oh, yeah. Oh, I didn't realize.
Yeah, we don't need to see you.
You don't need to see me. Is this any better? Is this better?
Yeah, it is better.
Basically, okay, good. Yeah, so let me get to the signal here then. I think Rob is right, and I think these people are going to be told over and over and over again, no, 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 because the federal government doesn't necessarily have the right to tell these people no. We can't expect the federal government to do this. This is an issue about land use. This is a local issue for local people. for local votes to decide about how their local land is used in one way or another. And it's up to them to decide whether or not they want to have a data center that pollutes their environment, disrupts their lives, disrupts their wildlife, and doesn't really provide anything meaningful in return to their community. And, of course, all of them are going to say no. This is creating a massive wedge in the Republican Party between the Trumpers who have basically said, you know, AI at any cost here. Do whatever you need for America to lead in AI, and the local politicians who are dealing with the fallout of this. And we've talked about this in the past, and there are plenty of Republican politicians who have pushed back against this, and I think we need to applaud those politicians who have pushed forward these local issues against the Trump administration's agenda of expansion at any cost, because it's absolutely wrong. It's absolutely wrong, and I like the idea of local democracy working, and if this is what it takes, this is what we have to do.
Well, it is going to be a battle because the federal government is not going to be interested in protecting people at all from rampant data centers everywhere. They basically want to be able to step in and get whatever they want and to step over state government, local government, you name it. Voter ID is a good example of that, how the feds want to create a national ID database under fooling people into thinking that it somehow makes voting more secure. We don't have time to get into that. We will get into that for sure. But right now we're going to be moving over to YouTube at 8 o'clock, and you can join us by going to channel 2600 over on YouTube.com or clicking the link that's on the webpage, 2600.com, and we will hopefully see you there. In any case, we'll be back next week, hopefully celebrating the Knicks' dramatic victory. And write to us, oth@2600.com. Hopefully it'll be less than 95 degrees next week. All right. Good night, everyone. See you later.